2 weeks ago. Well, that sounds like a long time. I preached a sermon about kind of the transition of life with Christ as the disciples knew it to life in the Spirit. And that's what we're going to be talking about the next several weeks. I don't know for sure how long. But I think it's important for us to understand what life in the Spirit looks like. And as I was thinking about this message came to my mind, and I dug it out and redid some things with it. But I want us to think about this life in the Spirit. And there's a concept that I came across in a book I was reading several years ago, and it was called Divine Appointments. Divine Appointments. And I want to share some things with you this morning about what it means to live by divine appointment. We have all kinds of appointments in our lives, don't we? All kinds of, whether it's a doctor's appointment, maybe it's an appointment with the hairdresser or the barber, maybe it's an appointment with a client or a meeting with a church member or whatever it is. We have all kinds of different appointments that we have in life. Our calendar is full of them. So the idea of appointments is not anything new to us. But I want to think about that from the standpoint of what it means to live by divine appointment this morning. And the scripture that I want to read is found in John chapter 15. And I know the scripture passage there says verses 16 and 17, and those are the two key verses. But I'm going to back up a little bit, and I'm going to start in verse 9, John chapter 15, verse 9. And Jesus is talking to his disciples here. It's after the meeting, after the Last Supper in the upper room, and now Jesus has taken his disciples across the valley into the Garden of Gethsemane area. And we have this whole discourse on the vine and the branches, and what we find there, if you study the history and the geography of that, is that as the disciples and Jesus walked across that valley going up into the Garden of Gethsemane area, there would have been a vineyard there. And many scholars believe that when Jesus is teaching this lesson, he's standing with his disciples in this vineyard. And as he finishes this discourse, or he's talking with them, he says this: "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command." That's just mind-blowing right there, to think that Jesus calls us friends. "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Father, this is your word. I pray that you would use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen." You did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. How many of you have ever been given a special assignment by your supervisor or your boss or someone that you had a lot of respect for, and that just made you feel good? My supervisor chose me for this. Jesus says, "I've chosen you. I've chosen you for this job, and I've appointed you for a special task." So Who is it who appoints us? It's pretty obvious from Scripture here as we think about it. God appoints us. Jesus has appointed us. People sometimes disappoint us. Human appointments in this whole scheme of things mean very little. But divine appointments mean everything. Now, when I talk about a divine appointment, what am I talking about? I told you, see, we have all kinds of different things going on in our lives, don't we? We have work schedules, we have family schedules, we have all these different things to do, different appointments that we have to go to. But when I talk about divine appointments, I'm talking about those opportunities that come along in our lives, and we really need to be aware of them or we could miss it. Have you ever missed an appointment? Have you ever been going through the day and thought, I was supposed to be at the chiropractor, or I was supposed to have a meeting with this person, or I was supposed to, and we missed that appointment. Maybe we didn't mark it down on our calendar. Maybe we didn't put it in our phone. Maybe we didn't do this. Maybe they didn't give us a reminder call like they usually do. In the spiritual life, it's the same way. We can miss those appointments. The book that I read several years ago was talking about this, and he said, you know what? I learned to pray. Bruce Wilkinson is the guy who wrote the book. He said, when I got up in the morning, he said, I learned to pray every morning before I left, before I went about my daily business. He said, I learned to pray every morning and ask God to bring that divine appointment into my life. And what's he talking about? He's talking about that opportunity, whether it's in the gas station, whether it's in the grocery store, whether it's with my coworker, whether it's with someone I go to school with, whatever we're doing in life, our everyday lives, inside of all of those things we have going on, there are these opportunities for divine appointments that we can be Jesus to someone. And if we're not careful, we'll miss it. So he said, I would pray every morning during my devotional time that whatever I was in the middle of that day, God would bring someone into my life that I could witness to, that divine appointment. And you never know when they're going to come. And you never know who it's going to be. So I want us to think about that as we go through this lesson today. Who is appointed? You and me. Us. The church, the body of Christ. We are certainly appointed to be representatives of Jesus, are we not? Paul says we're ambassadors for Christ. We've been appointed by God, and that's an awesome responsibility. I mentioned earlier, I asked you the question, how many of us have ever been given that special assignment by a supervisor? And we think that's a very special thing, and we're thankful that they recognized us and maybe our ability, but what happens if we mess it up? What happens if we don't do it right? Are they going to ask me to do that again? I don't know. Probably not. We, each and every one of us, the body of Christ, we're appointed to go share the truth and the message of Jesus Christ with everybody we see. And if we pray and if we learn to live in that mentality of what it means and ask God for those divine appointments and those opportunities as they come about in life, then we'll be a whole lot better at what God appoints us to do. And that's where we're going next. What am I appointed to do? What are we appointed to do? Number one, we're appointed to bear fruit. Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Now, what's he talking about? Well, if we read the rest of the chapter, we understand what he's talking about in context, and we're going to get there next week, because we're going to be talking about this appointment of bearing fruit, because I can't just skim over it in an idea like this, because it's very in-depth, and it's a lot of responsibility there. But we're appointed to bear fruit. When we think about what he says here, if you look back at chapter 1 or chapter 15, verse 1, I'm the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that does not bear fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it can bear even more fruit. So our number one appointment in this life, Jesus says, is to go and bear fruit. What does that mean? That means my appointment in life, my divine appointment in life, is to go and share the gospel message and share the love and the grace of Jesus with other people who don't know Jesus and bring them into a kingdom and bring them into a relationship with Christ, a personal relationship. How many of us can look back over our lives and point out those people or those situations where someone's a Christian today because of some influence that we had in their life? I hope all of us can do that. I hope all of us can look back and say, wow, not taking credit, not prideful, but I had a part in that person becoming a Christian. I had a part in the fact that that person's a believer. See, that's a part of our fruit as a Christian and as a believer. So we're appointed to go and bear fruit, make disciples. What did Jesus tell his disciples when he was leaving on the Mount of Ascension? I'm telling my disciples to go and do what? Make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Remind them of everything that I've taught you. It's all part of bearing fruit. If we're not bearing fruit, we need to do some type of an inventory and an evaluation of our spiritual walk and our spiritual life, because we're not doing what God has appointed us to do. If the church as a whole is not bearing fruit, it's time for the church to take an inventory of who we are and what we're doing and find out why we're not having an influence in the lives of people who don't know Jesus. It goes farther than that, though. He says, I have appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. The other part of our appointment is to have a lasting impact in the lives of people. Not just say, hi and bye, I'm Francis, I pastor the Nazarene Church, see you later, and never see that person again. How do we bear fruit that has a lasting impact? By building relationships with other people. I don't start off conversations with people by telling them I'm the pastor of a church. Not because I'm embarrassed to be a pastor, but I don't start off my conversations with people that I don't know by telling them that. My initial conversations usually with people, if I don't know them, are very generic. Or we'll talk about, depending on who it is and what the situation is, we talk about other things. I don't start off right away by saying, oh, I'm a pastor at the Nazarene Church. I'm not ashamed of it, but here's what that does. It automatically, in a lot of people's mind, closes a door and puts up a wall because they think I'm have some ulterior motive for even talking to them. We have a lasting impact by building relationships in those people's lives so that they can come to a point where they trust us and they respect us. And then we go from there. The other way we have a lasting impact is by not just getting them saved and leaving them there, or not just starting a conversation and leaving them there, but then continuing that through discipleship. How can I help encourage this person along in their faith? Because if we don't do that, they're like the seed that was planted. And it sprouts up for a while, but then it withers away quickly because of the sun or the birds come and eat the seed and all kinds of different things like that. That parable of the sower. God wants us to live lives and be an influence in the lives of other people that has a lasting impression and stays with them. This is interesting to me. We're also appointed to receive a blessing. I didn't put that one in here. We're also appointed to receive a blessing. We'll get to this one in a minute. Love one another. Here's what he says. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. All right, let me just say this very quickly. I'm not talking about name it, claim it religion. Okay, I don't really follow that philosophy. I do believe, I do believe that if we're obedient and we do the things that Christ tells us to do and we actually are effective in our calling and our appointment to bear fruit, I believe there's blessing that goes along with that. He says, if you do these things, you'll be able to ask the Father, and the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Now, what does that mean? I had a pastor explain this to me one time because, well, we all pray in the name of Jesus, right? So if we take this just at the surface, we'll say, well, I can ask for my new Mercedes-Benz, and as long as I do it in the name of Jesus, I'll get it, right? I'm not a big Mercedes. If I ask for my new Corvette in the name of Jesus, then I'll get it. No, what name actually means here is if we ask according to the very nature of Christ, if we ask things according to his nature. Now, what does that mean? That means we're in tune enough with Christ through the Holy Spirit that we can understand what God's will is for that situation, and we ask that our prayers be answered according to the nature and the will of God. If it's not God's will for me to have a new Corvette, I'm not going to get one no matter how much I pray or ask, because I'm seeking the wrong thing for the wrong motive and the wrong reason. But God wants us to be blessed. I believe that. Scripture tells us that. But we have to be living in that relationship, life in the Spirit, and following God and experiencing, living within that divine appointment that he places on our life. I saved this one for last because it's the one that ties them all together. We're appointed to love one another. Just starting in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. You know what? If I don't have a love for lost people, I'm not going to experience that divine appointment, or I'm going to miss it when it does come up because I don't have any concern for those other people. If we don't have a love for hurting people and people who think they have no hope, if we don't have a love for them, God's not going to bring them into our life because I don't care about what they're going through. Why would God bring that person to me? And what in the world? How is this possible? What in the world does it mean when Jesus said, love one another the same way I've loved you? How many of us can say that we do that? You don't have to raise your hand. How many of us can literally say, how many of us can truly say we know what it is to love someone else the same way Jesus loved us? That's hard. But it's what we're appointed to do. And none of that other stuff that I've talked about up until this point is going to matter if I don't love other people. Because they're going to be able to sense it. And God knows it, so God's not going to give me the opportunity anyway. He's going to give that opportunity to someone who does care about them and love them. So we're appointed to love one another. Now I want to give you a few examples of people who live by divine appointment in the Scripture. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about. There's this guy in the Old Testament. His name's Abraham. Abraham received a divine appointment from God. One day, Abraham's sitting there, and he's minding his own business at the father's ranch, you know, in the family ranch compound, and all this stuff going on. He had everything going for him. He had plenty of cattle. He had plenty of livestock. He was a very wealthy man. He could have just cruised through life and been okay. And all of a sudden, God comes to him one day and says, hey, I got a new plan. I want you to just pick up right where you are. I want you to take your immediate family with you, whatever belongings you can take with you, and I want you to leave this place, and I want you to start walking, or I want you to start traveling, and I'll tell you when you get there. But if you do this, I will make you a father of many nations. You'll be blessed beyond what you can ever imagine. Verse Because Abraham accepted that divine appointment from God, he's known as the father of the Christian faith. And you know what? He wasn't perfect while he's doing it. He made mistakes. Does that make you feel any better? Makes me feel better. He said, I'll make you a father of many nations. God's telling this to the man who's married to a woman who couldn't have children. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Your descendants will be more than the stars in the sky and more than the sands along the seashore. What a promise. But you have to accept the appointment. There's another guy in the Old Testament named Moses. The first 40 years of his life he spent in Pharaoh's house, living the life of royalty. He left Pharaoh's house after killing an Egyptian who was mistreating one of his fellow Jews, and the next 40 years he spent taking care of sheep for his father-in-law out in the desert and wilderness. And you know the story. One day when he was out there doing that, he walks by and he notices this bush that has flame coming out of it, but the bush isn't actually being destroyed. It's not burning. It's just flaming. And out of that burning bush, God called Moses by name and says, I have an appointment for you. You are the man I'm sending back to Egypt to bring my people out of bondage. Moses said what most of us have probably said sometimes. You got me confused with someone else. God didn't have him confused with someone else. God appointed Moses for that task. There's another story in the Old Testament that I find very intriguing. And it's about a woman named Esther. She has a book named after her. Esther was a young Jewish girl, part of the exile. They were the outcasts. They were the ones who were just supposed to be everybody's servants. And I don't have time to go through the whole story today. It's a fascinating story. But the king didn't like the way his wife responded to him at some point, so he had her put to death. That's not how we do things today, just so you know. Anyway, they start to search for the new queen. And somehow or another, this young Jewish girl who nobody knew was Jewish because they kept her identity a secret, her name's Esther Hadassah, actually, and known as Esther, and she somehow or another, she goes through all the process. She and her uncle Mordecai are able to hide their identity as Jews and their nationality as being Jews. And through this whole process, guess who becomes the new queen? Her name's Esther. Do you think that was an accident? You think it was a coincidence? No, it wasn't a coincidence, because during this time, there's an uprising, and one of the men in the king's circle of his cabinet, so to speak, if we were talking in political terms today, his name's Haman. And he comes up with a scheme and a plan to eradicate and exterminate the entire Jewish race. Esther's uncle Mordecai finds out about it, and then he goes and talks to Esther. He says, look, you're the queen. You can go talk to the king, and you can tell him what's going on, and you can make sure this doesn't happen, and you can be the person who saves the Jewish people. And in Esther chapter 4, starting with verse 10, we find these words. She, Esther, instructed this man to say to Mordecai, all the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned by the king has but one law, and that is that this person, whoever does this, be put to death. The only exception to this is for the king to extend the gold scepter to him or her and spare their life. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king. So she's telling this other servant, this other messenger, to go back and tell Mordecai, look, if I go into the king's presence in the inner court without being invited, I'm going to die. And it's been 30 days since the king invited me into his presence. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. Listen to this. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. Esther became queen by divine appointment from God so that she could be the person who would save God's people from extinction. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai, go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. And when this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Sometimes when we live by divine appointment, it requires risk. And it requires us to do things that sometimes might put our very lives or health on the line. Esther said, I'll go. I'll talk to the king. I'll do the best I can. And if I die, I die. When we receive a divine appointment from God, is it not important that we follow through with everything, regardless of the risk or consequences? Peter, James, and John. They were all fishermen. We know that story about how Jesus is walking along the shore teaching, and the crowd got to him, so he stepped in the boat and said, push away from the shore a little bit, and he taught them from the boat, and his words were so moving and so powerful that by the time he got done, they pulled the boat up on shore, and Jesus looked at Peter, James, and John and said, I want you to follow me, and they just dropped everything. They left their nets. They left their boats. They left their family. They left everything and everyone behind to follow Jesus. Speaking of Jesus, is he not probably the best example of what a divine appointment looks like? You know the Christmas story? And if you're reading through that scripture when they get to Bethlehem for the census and to register, there's a little passage of scripture in one of the verses says, and the time came for the baby to be born. What time do you think they're talking about? Just a coincidental time? No, it was the very time, it was the exact time, the appointed time for Jesus to be born. His death was at a specifically appointed time. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 tells us that at just the right time, while we were still without God, Christ died for the ungodly. At just the right time, the appointed time. Jesus lived by divine appointment. He's our example of doing whatever the Father asked, whenever he asked him. divine appointments can only be experienced if we're living life in the Spirit, though, if we're living under the authority and under the guidance, under the direction of the Holy Spirit. We've got to be careful that we don't miss the appointments that God brings into our life. Why? Because someone else's well-being and someone else's future, someone else's eternity could depend on whether I'm in tune with the Spirit and see that divine appointment when it comes and take whatever action the Holy Spirit's asking me to take. Ephesians 5:17 and 18 says this, "Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or debauchery, but be filled with Spirit." We can't live life in the Spirit if we're not filled with the Spirit. So today I just want to encourage you. I want to challenge us. Think about what it means to live our life according to God's divine appointments. We all have our schedules, we all have our calendars, but you know what? We all have those appointments, but in the middle of all that, life happens. And during life, everyday life, is when we experience God speaking to us and giving us the opportunities to help someone else. So as you get ready to leave, as you go through this week, let's be asking God. Let's just ask God to show us, bring that person into my life. Put me in that situation, whatever divine appointments you have for this week, put me in that place where I can recognize it and I can respond to it and I can help someone else know what it means to be a follower of Christ. Would you stand? I'm going to ask Ken Evans if he would dismiss us this morning.